That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I could just stay there. We talked about God in heaven, the praise of his people. I wasn't here for a while, guys, so I don't know what all happened, but and that's just the way that he is. I mean, he's so awesome, and he loves us so much. He really does, and I will say that there are a lot of you in here. I felt like I was going to him for you, and I was going to him for you for who you are going to him for someone else. And I was kept going to the Lord, and I said, "This person's interceding for this person. Can I get some bread for this person to take to that person? Because she's seeking you for this person and that person." And there's so many of you in here right now, and you're interceding, and you're on your knees for people right now to get them saved and get them set free on from drugs and you name it. And I'm telling you, he was here tonight, and I saw him dancing again tonight. I can't describe how Jesus dances. I didn't see his face, or I saw his legs, and it's some type of gymnastics that I've never seen before. I can't describe it, and my sister shared the scripture with her. It was Zephaniah what? You said? 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17, and says that the Lord dances over us. And I'm not quoting it directly, but that's basically what it says. And man, it's incredible what God can do if we just will just enter in, man. And it was just awesome. So you can't add to that stuff. So he's here, and he's doing some things. And I want to encourage you. There was a real quickening and strengthening. I feel like we broke through. I was almost wondering when I heard the sirens whether this building was on fire on top, and the firemen were going to come through any second, and they're going to go, "Where's the fire?" And Roger, the owner of the place, shows up, and there's a fire here, and you know that could happen, you know, and all of a sudden Chapin changes. All of a sudden, Chapin gets on CNN. It's not about the L.A. fires anymore. It's about the fire of God appearing in glory as a canopy of defense and protection over his children, as they said in Isaiah. So I just want to encourage you. The word was expect the unexpected. I don't know who said that, but it was definitely from the Lord. And so that was the thought I had in my head. And I wasn't like dreaming. It was something I was saying, this might happen. How am I going to respond to the firemen when they come through? And you know, but I was off, so just know this, I was off in what do you ever call that land, at heaven or wherever it was, but it's awesome. I didn't want to come back. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is we got the A team and the B team, and these are my B glasses, so I was so concerned as I pulled up, where's my glasses? I can't do anything without my glasses. You know, we get attached to things in this world, right? So anyway, I'm not making sense, I know that, but we're going to go ahead and go forward anyway. Luke chapter 21, verse 25, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you've got your phone, who would have thought we ever said that 25 years ago? Get your phone out so you can look at the scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, you're just an encouragement. God is all over you. He really is. He is so, you know what it's like to endure. Amen. Patient endurance. That's what the Philadelphia church learned. And because they learned that, they escaped the trials that were about to come on the world. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. The only church that was critiqued in a way that that's what you want to hear. And because of that, because they learned the endurance, the lesson that they learned, said God, "I'm going to open a door that no man can shut." And God is going to open up a door that you can pour out everything that you got in your heart onto people who are in great need. Brother, I don't know what it is you do. I don't know. I've never met you before, but I want to tell you something. The Spirit of the living God is going to pour out of you, brother. It's going to come forth in the form of love. God has given you a language of love. Amen. Not just for your wife. I'm in the language of love. God's language. Amen. And you, when you speak to people, they're going to receive it because it's going to be coming from out of your heart. And that's what this whole trial was all about. It was beaten off this and beaten off that, and now that pure gold. You know, the Malachi says, he sees a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he has refined you through this trial. And now you're out on the other side, and God says, I have given you a bounty. I have given you your family. Every one of them is going to make it into the kingdom of God. Every one of them. And when you get down to your knees, not only will they come, but they will have revival, personal revival. Amen. And that one that trends to stray and tends to look at different things and interpret God in interesting ways, they're going to know the truth because the Holy Ghost is going to visit them in their night seasons. And they're going to start to dream to the point they're going to say, what are these dreams all about? It's God knocking on the door of their heart. Just want to encourage you, brother. There's no way you're going to lose this one. Amen. Because God says, I've got it completely into my hands. And I'm going to deliver, says God. And God's going to open up your mouth and you will prophesy. That's right. The word of the Lord is going to come through your mouth. It's going to speak to the heart of the matter of one individual after another individual. And you're going to be just like out in the marketplace or whatever. And God's going to say, I've got a word for that person. You're going to be obedient because you don't care anymore, right? That was what the whole trial was about, to beat the fact you don't care about anything anymore except pleasing the Lord, because you know you're going to face him and you want to be able to say, I completed my mission. I did what I was supposed to do. And God says, he's going to say, good, well done, good and faithful servant. And you're going to hear your name called out in front of all of heaven, and all the angels are going to hear your name, and you're going to hear your name come from the word and lips of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're going to hear your name. Your name is going to be sounded out through all eternity. Amen. Because you've been faithful and you obeyed God and you bowed before, you would not bow before the enemy, but you bowed before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because your life could have gone that way. But you said no. You got pulled back and God pulled you on the right path. And that's why you're here tonight. Amen. He wanted to tell you that. Amen. Aren't you? Isn't he so good? Does that mean anything to you? Praise the Lord. It meant a lot to me. It's getting foggy up here. The fog has come. I like when the fog comes. All kinds of bad news came to me today. Just bad news from here and there and everywhere. And I knew, I didn't react to it. I just expected. Because, you know, when you're doing something for the Lord, the enemy tries to get at you all kinds of different ways. Amen? He didn't come at me through my wife. Thank God for that. Usually that's a corrective word to me, by the way. Did your wife ever correct you? Guys out there, Andrew, does your wife ever correct you? Oh, praise God. Every day. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little happy up here, so we're going to put on the B team here and let's move forward. I'm in Luke 21, verse 25. Yeah, 21, 25. I can't read that yet. So there's somebody else over here that needs a touch for the Lord. Well, you might as well get it because he got it. Are you guys married? Or yeah. Yes? Okay. I just want to make sure because I've made some mistakes in my past. So I've learned to ask questions. Well, it's good. I've been enjoying the marriage. Marriage going good. Good job. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that word servant comes up in me when I look at you, the heart of a servant, you know, and that long road of becoming the servant, you know, to people that, you know, it's like when I waited tables, you know, there's some people you just don't want to serve. They just got an attitude. Amen. You have a ministry to attitudes. Amen. Yeah, you're going to find, or they're going to find you anyway. But God has given you the ability to be able to understand why they are the way they are. That's important because, see, sometimes when people act out and they do different things, we don't know why they're doing them, you know, but the Spirit of the Lord inside of us sometimes will give us information called the Word of Knowledge, and you've operated in it in times, but it's going to increase because you want to have understanding, because you just don't understand why God's going to give you the ability to be able to understand. You know, years ago, I worked at Epworth Children's Home downtown here, and there was a teacher. I didn't like her at all. I thought she was the devil. And she would always send the kids to me. I was the facilitator. And if you ever get that job, a facilitator, it means you do it all. You're doing everything. I was like the principal over this little campus school, and just she didn't want to deal with somebody. She'd send it to my office, and I thought it really bothered me. So, you know, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to get her back. This little boy's going to come over here. I'm going to write a note. He's going to take it back. She's going to come over to my office and yell at me, and I'm going to kick her out of my office. I mean, I had it all worked out, and it came exactly the way I had it worked out. He took the letter back. I looked out because he had to come across the way. It was like he had to come outside the school and walk across the little field thing. And I'm sitting there watching her, and she's coming. And I got back and sat at my desk, and I'm just kind of waiting. I'm just sitting there smiling because I can't wait to kick her out of my office. There's something wrong with me, wasn't there? Something wrong with me. Just didn't like her attitude. I thought she was just the devil, man. Just something wrong with her. She comes in, and I said, "Get out of my office." And she didn't get out right away, so I had to get a little forceful. "Get out of my office." And so there's a little back and forth, and finally she gets out of my office, and I slammed the door behind her, and all of a sudden I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Great, you really showed her my love." And I'm like, but Lord, you know how she is. She did, you know, treat this kid bad. He says, "Well, let me just tell you about her." He didn't say it like that, but like the thoughts start coming. I started to see how she was abused and all this stuff and her child and all this stuff that happened to her. And after wave came to me and finally said, "You know, Lord, I didn't know that." He says, "You never asked." See, people, why are they the way they are? And God's going to have you administer that way. You're going to start to see why people are the way they are, and it's going to give you insight to bring a word of the Lord to them in such a specific way, and so profound will it be, it's going to carry healing power in it. It's not even laying on hands. It's allowing the word of the Lord that's in your mouth going right down to their heart, and it's going to settle the issues, and it's going to set them free one after another after another. You know, it says, "Let our light shine." And your light is shining bright. The anointing is on you in a powerful way, sister. Don't underestimate your spiritually. I didn't say it correctly. Don't underestimate yourself. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had nothing to be happy about today. You know how you go home and you got something going on spiritually, and man, you get home one, if you get that one after another after another. I don't know what anybody else went through to get here tonight, but I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. I salute you that you got here. Some of you probably had other things to do. You had to fight that snow out there tonight. I mean, you know, it was hard, but you got here anyway. Amen. I'm in Luke 21, verse 25. "There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and also in the stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And there you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth their leaves, you see and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life. And that day should come on you and suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man." I like that word, to be on guard. You know, so many people are aware. Even people that aren't believers are fascinated with apocalyptic things. Movies. You can go on YouTube or anywhere and you can find out that there people know there's something that's about to take place. Us Christians know that it's the return of the Lord Jesus. But you know, it says, and here it says, to be armed, don't be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness. But this one thing is the key here, I think, really, that hits most Christians, the worries of life. What are you worried about, Todd? You see, that's what's so nice about when God shows up and he talks through you and he's asking me what I'm worried about. So I just want you to know, I'm subject to my own word, amen? And I'm going through some things right now in my spirit that I've been worried about. So thank you, Jesus, for dealing with me, amen? Now let's deal with you. So what are you worried about? I mean, what are you worried? You're not worried anymore. I want what you got, but what are you really worried about? These guys aren't worried about there. They're back there playing, having a good time. They don't care. They're not even listening to me. I'm irrelevant. They're not worried. What can this planet, what can anything do to us? Nothing can snatch us out of his hands. We're going to live forever. We have an opportunity to, you know, we're not on the bench. We've got an opportunity. We're in the game. We're going to see the return of the Lord one way or the other. The stuff we're reading, we're going to witness. I mean, it's blowing my mind. Can you imagine coming in the glory and the clouds? And I mean, so many people were going to be caught off guard. I mean, it's not funny, but to me, it's like, I mean, we're trying to tell them. We're trying to warn them. It's going to happen. We're seeing right before our eyes, it's like people are asleep. Israel's been a nation since, what, 1948? That's a real key. Jesus said that this generation won't pass away until all these things didn't pass. So that's a real key. 48. How long is a generation? 70 years? 120 years? I don't know. We have theologians in here. You tell me. But I'll tell you what, it's coming quick. So we have to be on our guard. We can't allow ourselves to get weighed down and worry. It's a trap of the enemy. He wants to hound you. He wants to show you the people that you're praying for. The demons are so trying to hang on for their life. They have to have some kind of expression in this realm, and the only way they can do it is through people that they control. In case you hadn't noticed, and some of them don't even hide anymore. They're just there. And you know, Job, you know, you read about Job and you see all, you know, and God allowed him to do certain things. But when he allowed him to do it, you see how he controlled people. He controlled armies, and he controlled controlled these things. And so we're living in a planet where he controls things. But you know what? It says that the church will become so strong and so powerful that the gates of hell can't prevail against it. That must mean there's a transformation that's taking place in the end of days where the gospel of the kingdom is preached with such a dimension of power, with such boldness. As one of this brother Danny was saying the other night, that it was a pilot program. The apostles, this is a pilot program. It wasn't like we're going back to get mature back. No, there's something beyond what happened in the very beginning. And you know that to be true. I mean, we have more ability now than ever because we have more light. There's more. We are there. Jesus, when he ministered in the miracles, he made this statement. He said, "It'll be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you, because you've seen that if they had seen all these miracles, they would have repented." We have so much light in this country. That's why it's being spared. It's not because of this person or that person. It's because of us. We have an accountability and responsibility as the church to let our light shine and to get on our knees and intercede and take out the enemy where we see him. God wants to open up our spiritual eyes so that we know what we're hitting. So when we go down our knees, that we know exactly what to pray, that we know exactly what to hit. Paul said, I don't hit the air. It's not just throwing up a little bit of Hail Marys. I don't even know how you do it. what a Hail Mary is, but some of you Catholics, ex-Catholics know, you would take the rosary, and what do you do with it? You sling it, or? You just that? Well, that's not very powerful. I mean, if I was Catholic, I'd take that thing and just start smacking people with it. I mean, it's got power. Yeah, I when I was in, doing a mission trip in Mons, Belgium, I stayed with a Catholic priest. He never ever showed me there. He never told me anything about that. All he did was, in case I just want to hear from God, he says, I want to hear God's voice. That's all the entire time for 4 straight years. I kept telling him, God, you are hearing from God. So maybe if you don't drink beer or wine before you minister, you might hear from them. That's all they do. I mean, I'm over there. I know it's Europe and stuff like that. And I said, I can't drink before I go. You guys are good. It's bad enough as it is. I don't know how they did it. Great man. It's over 30 churches. And he didn't tell me how to use the rosary. I was upset. So anyway, I don't know how I got off into that. But yeah, I built this. I don't know if y'all knew that. I actually built this out of scraps. It's solid. It is a little off here, but I had to make sure that there was enough room here to so you could put a bottle of water. I am thirsty. It's right there. Yeah, thanks. See. So. The B team ain't working, I'm telling you guys. This thing is not, these are. So, I had something so profound to say, I don't even know what it was now. But these guys are in love up here. Look at this. You guys are great. You got in that fight 2 weeks ago, but you're in love now, right? Things about the words of knowledge, you know, sometimes in the spirit you can pick what you say and not say, and so you just have to be careful. It's been a while since this has happened, as you can tell. Oh. You guys aren't encouraging that. Don't be doing that to me. I can see where the backsliders are back there. So you'd be, amen. But yeah, there's nothing really to worry about right now, is there? It depends on what your focus is. You know, when you have focus. Yeah, be on your guard, because your devil roars around like a lion. He is not a lion, but he roars around like one, seeking someone to devour. But if we resist him steadfast in our faith, he will leave. Amen. So he's gone. We Wow. I'm trying to focus. I see it. There we go. That's better. Okay. Did you know I colored my Bible? Did you know that? This is important. Okay, where's the B team at? Oh, man. All right. I'm going to see what I underlined here. But when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up. They don't even care back there. Okay. I'm so glad you're here tonight because some people don't understand this stuff. Ooh. That's what they thought they were drunk on the book in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Ooh, it's better to be drunk like this, I'll tell you. You don't get a hangover. Whew. Okay, I think we can. I'm not looking at you guys back there. I'll tell you that right now. You know what you know what the fig tree represents? It's the nation of Israel, and we need to be paying attention to what's going on. Someone throw me a donut or something. Oh. No. Did I get my message out tonight? I think the Lord's telling me to prophesy now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you a word of encouragement. I'm so glad you're here because you're keeping me a little more even. Because if you start losing it, we're not, it's going to end up, I won't be able to do anything tonight. You know, you're on a journey. How profound it, but you really are on a journey. Amen. I would call it almost an adventure. Amen. And it's not boring. Your life is not boring at all. That's all I know at this point. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm tired. Yeah. It's a tag team tonight, you're up. Thank you. I'll be back.
You're wasted. He was a man.
Please tell everybody what just happened. Ah, who knows if times of refreshing will come.
Yes.
Some of us need times of refreshing. Yeah, you're so serious. Some people are so serious. I'm watching. I see faces. I'm like, and some are like, we should be serious right now. Surprise shares a story about a pastor who came and told him, you should not be this happy when he was young, much younger. He says, you shouldn't be happy all the time. You're in the ministry. You should be serious. And he says, oh. And he went to the Lord. And the Lord says, stay happy. And a number of years ago, just actually a few years ago, he saw this guy. And the guy was actually not even in ministry anymore. This guy was a pastor. And he wasn't even in ministry. And he said, how did the seriousness work out for you? And because surprise is very happy all the time. There's something about joy that you never want to lose. You never want to lose it. You never want to lose it. And sometimes you have to fight for it. You have to fight for joy. One of the most important things. So the rosary. That's how we got off on a rosary. So I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, okay? Am I good here? No, not good? What happened was, when I was in Bible college, if you can imagine that, I was very active on the streets of Philadelphia. There was somebody who talked to me about this last night, but I can't remember who it was. Who? Who was it? You can't hear me? You can't hear me? We're good. If you need me to be louder, I can be louder. Is that better? Good. Whew. I just feel like I'm yelling. I'm not yelling at you, okay? We're all right. But anyways, I was in Bible college. I went on this little retreat, and as a result of this little retreat, went back to Philadelphia, and every day, the Lord said, I want 1 hour. And I was not doing well in college at all. I was on the dean's list, his prayer list, and because I was flunking out. And the Lord said, I want an hour a day of you on the street. Should I back up or go forward or what should I do? No, I don't want the fuzzy thing. Is this better? Is that better? Good. So, and I saw hundreds of people coming to Jesus on the streets. He told me, he says, I'll take care of your grades. You just do what I told you to do.
So I began going, and I would see different people. I mean, mostly the underground subway or train station in Philadelphia. I'd go down there and just go talk to people. I didn't do anything special. Things like, I'm getting back to the rosary, okay? I would just walk up to people and say, hi, can I tell you about Jesus? You know, sometimes we try to be so clever. And God says, stop it. Stop wasting their time by filling it in with things to make them want to talk to you. What you want to talk to them about is Jesus. So cut to the chase. Just go for it. And, you know, people want to be clever. They don't want to be offensive. It's like, no, you're going to offend them as soon as you bring up Jesus. He's going to either offend their sin or he's going to offend their holiness. And they're going to realize, oh, I need God. And person after person, people just responded to the Lord. It was powerful. And I would see some of them months and even years later, where they come up to me and they say, you spoke to me on the streets of Philly and just want you to know what's going on in my life. And I got saved that day and been involved in this and this church. And just crazy stories. It was incredible. Well, during that time, because of what was happening, it was massive. Literally, the Bible college I went to was a fundamentalist Bible college. The Catholic Church was the Antichrist. No joke. Absolutely. And this one day, I'm in class, and somebody comes up and says, there's somebody to see you downstairs. And I said, oh, okay. So I go down, and I'm looking in the lobby. Nobody's in the lobby. And the receptionist there said, they're outside. It's winter. It's like now. And I go outside, and there's this Catholic bishop who's outside. I'm like, okay, what is this? And he says, are you Danny Stein? I said, I'm Danny Stain. And he said, you the one who's converting all the people on the streets? I said, yeah, I guess so. And he said, well, what kind of people do you convert? We need an evangelist in our parish. And we will pay you. And he mentioned a huge figure. I mean, when I think about it now, I go, this is crazy. I'm a kid. He says, we will pay you this much to become an evangelist in our parish. And then he said, what kind of people do you reach? I said, oh, it doesn't matter. I said, they can be Jewish. They can be atheists. You know, you're seeing Hindus, Muslims. It doesn't really matter. Non-Christians. And he said, really? And I said, and Catholics. He said, you convert Catholics? I said, oh, yes, I do. And he said, I don't think you'll work for us. So that was back in 1978. I want you to think about how far back that was. 2013, I was asked to do a week-long School of the Holy Spirit, week long, Sunday through Saturday, School of the Holy Spirit with the Catholics in Boston. And I'm like, this is crazy. Crazy God. As a result of them inviting me, it was kind of funny. I was like, how do I dress for this thing? I don't even know how to dress. There are a few other speakers. I thought, well, if I just dress in all black, that'd be okay. And during whatever they were doing, I had people coming up to me and say, oh, Father, would you pray for me? I said, I'd love to. And they would take out the rosary beads, like they're going to use them. I said, oh, you don't need them. I don't? No, you don't need them. It's okay. That's cool. They put them away. They go, okay. Boom, boom, boom. They're hitting the ground, like left and right. It had this line of people, yeah, this Father's been praying for us. And then they didn't even realize I wasn't even a Catholic. I was a Protestant guy. So later, They would invite me back, I think it was 4 years. I don't know what happened the fifth year, but anyways. But do you, the power of God, crazy stuff. In that first particular meeting, there were three young people, early 20s, from Poland. Don't despise, don't look at anything as being, God, what is this? And it's just random. These three kids at that meeting, they said, would you come to Poland? I said, sure. And went to Poland, and we had massive meetings. In fact, there were both Catholics and Protestants who came to that meeting. They said, we haven't had meetings like this since John Wimber came to Poland. Way back in the 80s. That there had never been anything like that. And we watched priests coming to the Lord. We saw the power of God come on people. There was a move of God. And I absolutely believe God is going to release His glory in such power that you're going to, some of the things are, it's ridiculous. Some of the things that people have said, well, this is what Catholics believe, because you've been taught that. I promise you, the people that I've hung out with, you would not know them from anybody else in this room. They love Jesus. They're on fire. They're evangelists. They're reaching people. And the Catholics, honestly, without the Catholics, we wouldn't have tons of the history that most Protestants don't know. Do you know the woman who, what was her name? We're going to get back to some stuff. Really, we are. Are you okay over there? You okay? There is something about the. Do you know who the Samaritan woman is? Anybody know? What's that? Fotini. And do you know how we found that out? What's that? No, not from the Chosen. The Catholics carried that story. They carried all those stories. You know who Fotini was? Fotini would end up becoming, actually she had two sons, and all of them were martyred because they became flaming evangelists in that whole region of the world. That Rome killed them. But other stories, even like Francis. How many of you ever heard of Francis of Assisi? Okay, do you know what? I went into Assisi in Italy. I have never felt the anointing of God so strong. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to Moravian Falls too, really. I'm joking. But I've been lots of places and people are like, you felt the strongest anointing? I say, yeah, I did. And I couldn't figure it out. Because I'm thinking, this dude was a Catholic. The Lord says, he was not a Catholic. I said, yes, he was. He says, the Reformation hadn't taken place, Danny. He's one of you. I went, oh, they just claimed him. They claimed him. They claimed him because of his garb. Remember? The Franciscan. That was how church was done in those days. What? I kid you not, those guys were full of power. They moved in authority and power. They saw the dead raised, they saw healing. They had to bury Francis so fast because people were literally, his body was healing people after he was dead. People were trying to take off parts of his body because they continued to heal. Wow. And so, obviously, we can only be saved by grace. We're not saved by works. And some people are messed up in that. And some of the things they've been taught are unnecessary teachings. But I could bring up a lot of teachings in the Protestant church right now that are completely unnecessary, that are ridiculous. that they're sent to tickle the ears. And 150 years from now, people will still be doing it. And people are like, why do you do that? Well, it was passed down, you know, passed this. It's all just a tradition. Somebody did. The rosary probably began from somebody going, man, I got to remember to pray for things. I can't remember. Whatever. But when you make it an idol, when you make anything an idol, that's the problem. I want to kind of draw some things together. Just because I felt like when Todd was laughing. Holy Spirit's good. He's really good. He talked about battles a lot tonight. And so the Lord pointed me towards some battles. I'm going to talk to you for about 5 minutes, maybe seven, on spiritual gifts. How many of you know the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he releases the gifts? And then we read through chapter 12. Incidentally, chapter 13 was not written as a wedding thing. The love chapter wasn't written for weddings. It was written for the relationship of the gifts. That everything must be birthed out of love. Anything not birthed out of love. If you're doing ministry without love, stop. Quit. If you don't care for people, stop it. You're trying to make a show and it's a religious spirit you're functioning under. That's how that works. And so that's what 13's for. 14 says you can all prophesy, da da da. And he goes through the whole process of the spiritual gifts. But we have a very unique thing in the church today. In the quote unquote revelation of the fivefold, and I'm going to use that word, that term right now. Because the fivefold has been something, it has always existed. It's just never been pulled together like it has been over the past 25, 30 years. Actually, probably 35 years. Over that period of time, you began hearing about different kinds of stuff. And prophecy early on, nobody would even dare to be called a prophet early. Well, actually, the one guy, what's his name in Florida? The oldest guy. What's that? Bill Hammond. Bill Hammond, I mean, there were others that functioned a little bit in it before, but Bill Hammond would become the first major equipper in that regard. And so, and then there were the prophets out of Kansas City, and there were all this other, you know, kept happening. And then the apostolic comes, and it's like people are like, what's apostolic? And so people think, well, if you plant a church, it's apostolic. It's like, well, maybe, maybe not. We find that there's many apostles in the Word, not the 12, who were called apostles. They weren't planting churches. They were functioning under a different realm of what it meant to apostle. But Ephesians 4:11 says what? Anybody? Ready? He has given some. You have to go to the context, because the context of it says, he gave gifts to men. Gifts. Two men. That's the context. We have flipped it. He's given gifts as men. Or given men as gifts. We flipped it. We really flipped it. Because it doesn't say that, not in context. It says he gives gifts to men. And then he goes through this thing. He says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, or for the mending of the nets, for getting people ready to catch harvest, to get a good catch, so that they will do the work of the ministry. That the vast majority of the work of the ministry is not to be accomplished by these five. They should all be a part of it. But nevertheless, you know, it's like people who want to be hired to be a pastor. I understand that realm. And I can never be a hireling. I have to speak what the Lord says. Not because a board looks over me and says, you can't teach on that. Why? Because it's not my gift. That's it, it's not something that can be profiteered off of. And so the gifts of the Spirit, I said this morning, some of you caught it. In your own hearts, if you've spoken in tongues, I'm just bringing some things to a close. If you've spoken in tongues, it's easy. You can speak in tongues right now. Give me at least some nods from anybody. Does anybody in this room even speak in tongues? Okay. You don't have to raise your hands, but whatever. But when you speak in tongues, it comes. It's right there. It is instantaneous. It is, there's no work at it. I remember when I first experienced it, my cousin was the one who introduced me to the Holy Spirit before I was ever, quote unquote, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I talked about tongues. Tongues scared the daylights out of me. I did not want to hear tongues. I'd been in enough weird meetings where people were faking stuff, and I had. I was just like, I said, well, what about tongues? He said, well, I can do it right now. I said, you can do it right now? I said, it's not like, he said, no, it's not. I went, and he said, do you want me to? I said, no, I don't want you to. A couple days later, and it would happen to me. But I asked for that specifically because it was the most difficult one for me to receive. And I knew I have to go after, I want the whole ball of wax. And it would take me a little while to begin understanding that the same God who gave me tongues, that I could release in tongues, was the same God that if I were to say to you right now, prophesy, most of you would go, I can't just do that. Word of knowledge right now. Word of wisdom right now. Faith right now. Really, you can do those things? Well, actually, that's what we're called to do. That's the supernatural. That's the reality of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we move into those things. And that is the most awkward thing for the church right now. They don't know how to get there. But that's, in fact, what we're supposed to be being equipped to do, to release those things. And we have placed apostles, prophets, evangelists. We place this at a pinnacle place. We place it like these are the top people in the church. Apostles and prophets. That's how you plan a church. That's how the church is built on that structure. Da, 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 da. And so we've developed these things in our minds that they're the guys. No, they're not the guys. They are gifts. I can point to as many immature prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, crazy immature. They're just immature. They got no character, but they're doing the stuff. They can give you words all day long because there is a gift there, but they're not using it appropriately. They're using it to embellish, increase their own ministry when really the goal is to equip people to function in that role. I've been with very immature apostles, very immature. And it's like, yeah, they got a gift, but if the character doesn't start showing up, there have been some people who've had very immature apostolic gifts recently that have been taken out, completely taken out. We're witnessing in the church an exposure at an exponential rate, and you ready for this? It's the tip of the iceberg. You haven't seen anything yet. As the glory and the holiness and the light of God comes on His church, I want you to know the exposure, it's going to look like roaches running through a trailer in South Carolina. I think you all understand. The big ones, the palmetto bugs, you know. When you flip the lights on and all of a sudden everything's scattered, I'm telling you, It is going to be a blazing light where people, and right now, when you find out that people are afraid of that, there's something you need to wonder. Because I want you to know, Lord, test me, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's something that we do. That doesn't mean I haven't failed. I have failed in the past. I absolutely have. And there are days I fail and I run to Jesus or I run to the person and try and resolve it with that person. I do that. But then there are those who just hide things and they hide things and they hide things and they hide, and it is time to stop hiding. It's time to step into a place where God is shining his light on us. And we say, Lord, give me the high beams, man. I want to stand pure before you. And so we see these immature gifts, and they function as gifts. They're just gifts. He gave gifts to men. What kind? He gave them tongues, gave them prophets, he gave all this different stuff as gifts. And it kind of changed. You go, well, what's... Then who are the mature ones? Paul speaks of it. John speaks of it. You have not many fathers. John says, to the children, I write to you because your sins have been forgiven. You're stoked. You just got saved. You're excited about Jesus. That's awesome. To the young men, you have overcome the evil one. Good for you. Yay. These are the warriors. This is where you can give a warrior word. You know, you guys are going to be warriors. You're going to absolutely slay the enemy all over the Southeast. For real. It's true. Isn't it, Mary? It is. But he says, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's been from the beginning. Paul says literally this. He says, I became a father to you. You can imitate me. When was the last time you had anybody say to you, go ahead, imitate me? I know what's in my life. I know that God has put inside of me, and I'm not saying this to you, I don't know what's going on, but that fathers carry a different perspective. You know the ones you go to for counsel? Fathers and mothers. Deborah was called a mother in Israel. She writes a song with Barak. And they had this. And she says, he says, everything changed when I came because I'm a mother in Israel. Because I carry wisdom. I carry the heart of God. I knew what God wanted the whole time. This guy has to die. He has got to get out of here. That's what Deborah did. She changed the whole thing. And spiritual fathers and spiritual moms they understand God's heart. You know, when you mention people after, you know, David was a man after God's heart. I thought for years, I thought, must have had something to do with worship. You know, he was so in love with God. No, he carried God's own heart. People looked at David and they went, dude, why are you doing? Why did you take out the... Holy, you know, you take the tent down and you put choirs around that. That's like against the law. He said, no, I know what God really wants. God really wants 24/7 worship around his throne. He wants human beings to worship him with their whole heart. He understood God's heart. It's the very thing that God gave to me years ago. In 1990, I had a visitation with Jesus. It was actually about this time of year. 1990, I don't know how many years that is. Long. What is that, 35 years? Right over by where the Home Depot is at, by Columbiana Center. We had a building there, and I was in the nursing mother's room. And, whoa. It would change my life forever. Forever. He read the word to me. And he wrote about the key of David. And it says, I've given you the key. And what that door opens, no man can shut. And what that door shuts, no man can open. And when he gave it, it was crazy. I had no idea what it meant. I thought it had to do with worship for 17 years. Until one Sunday I'm speaking in Boston. And he said, and it came out of my mouth. And I said, I don't know if I believe that. And all of a sudden I realized the Lord said that. He was a man who carried God's own heart. And when you carry God's heart, you can break every protocol there is. You can break through in areas. You want breakthrough in Chapin? You got to have God's heart. What does God say about Chapin? What does God say about South Carolina, North Carolina? What does he say about the whole region? You know, I was never privileged to be able to say, even back in the Vineyard days, that God just called me just to Columbia. He never just called me to Columbia. We had a footprint that was insane. We had people from Charlotte that would come. We had people from all over the state who would come to Vineyard. It was weird. People were like, they said, your footprint's weird. He says, big. When we are in Connecticut today, people drive every week 2.5-3 hours for a Tuesday night meeting where they have to work the next day. Nobody leaves early. Why? Because we have authority. We're breaking protocol. We're breaking in. We are absolutely here to make a difference. There's something that God wants to do, evidently in South Carolina and in the southern region, that is huge. It's massive. But it doesn't happen because you have meetings. It happens because you understand God has given you authority to break through, to use that key that no one, that door will never shut again. That door will be open. We will open it, no man can shut it. And the things that have to do with religious stuff and unbelief, that door we're shutting and locking. We are not those who don't believe. We are those who absolutely experience the supernatural all the time. We're absolutely those who, as it says in Zechariah, who get a place to be able to hang out with angels. By the way, that is the only courts of heaven. I know I said something that somebody won't like, but that's the only courts of heaven in the Bible. I've been to the courts of heaven, but I never asked to go there, never wanted to go there. And it is theologically absolutely bogus. But it'll tickle your ears and keep you busy for a while. Whew. Was that a mouthful? And I know for some of you, you're like, what? Two of my favorite spiritual folks, Roland Baker and Surprise. When that whole thing began emerging, and everybody said, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. I'm like, what? I don't see it. I went to them, I said, tell me what you think. Roland first. And Roland, who is a theological giant, he goes, no. It is not biblical in any way, shape, or form. Surprise. Surprise sent a team to do it for a period of almost a whole year because he wanted to see, is it going to work? They had a whole team. I mean, a large team, like 30, 40 people. And they said there was zero effect. I know. Robert wouldn't like me. Robert came to my meetings before he ever had that experience, where his son had that experience. You cannot take one experience and just fan it out. This is what is for everybody. Never. I didn't mean to do that. But it's important for the body to begin to understand what discernment is. And discernment reveals the way to go, but also sometimes that's not the way. You don't want that stuff. You don't want religious stuff. You don't want unbelief stuff. Wow. One last thing. You mentioned something else. And I felt like you mentioned the battles. Maybe we're going to not go there. Three quick little things. Zechariah was given a commission. That commission was to rebuild the temple. The word of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 4, an angel wakes him up. This exact experience happened to me. I was awoken by an angel, literally at my bed. And he said, get up, read Zechariah 4. I'm like, okay, middle of the night. Turned on my light, and I'm reading Zechariah 4. And it says, and then the angel who was speaking to him woke him. I'm like, okay, we're tracking. And then he said, and he begins going into this stuff about the fig tree and the oil and all this crazy, weird, prophetic stuff. And Zechariah is there, and he goes, I don't understand. He says, you don't get this? I thought, man, I'm dealing with Bob Jones here. This is exactly how my relationship was with Bob. Bob, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he says, you don't understand this? He says, forget it. I'll cut to the chase. This word is for none other than Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's literally what the passage says. And it's like, and when you see him holding the plumb line, depends which translation, the plumb line or the capstone, you will hear shouts from the people of grace, grace. And I'm going, what was going on in Zechariah that this whole thing even needed to be said? Well, this word came to him 16 years. It was 16 years after God sent him to Jerusalem to go build the temple. 16 years. This is a word for some of you. Because we delay, we delay, we delay, we delay. We look for the right people, the right place, the right thing. And the Lord says, I told you this years ago. And God's not changing his mind, what he called you to. He's not changing his mind. When God makes a prophet, you know what he does? He takes a reluctant, crazy prophet who has no desire to become a missionary. He just wants to be a priest in Jerusalem, but he takes and he says, you're going to be a missionary to the folks like Isis in Nineveh. And he takes them and they go the opposite direction. This is how prophets are made. God will pull everything of your rebellion outside of you. He will put you in the worst circumstances. Some people who are in the worst circumstances right now do not understand. It's actually God who's sitting on you. And he's very heavy. He will not let up. He doesn't let up till he gets his way. You gave him your life. Now, what are you doing? It's really that real. And Jesus would only give the people back in his day, they said, give us a sign. We talked about the signs. We're going to see signs. Give us a sign. Twice. They said, give us a sign. And Jesus says, no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonah. And he takes a reluctant prophet, makes him go to a city he doesn't want to go to, where it's cold, and there's a lot more snow than you get here. And shoveling driveways usually takes about 3 to 4 hours. For real. And where you realize you're leaving a lot of your family in other places in the earth, and you'd much rather be there with them. And he takes people, and he says, go. God, you're going to do something with them. I don't want you to. I don't like them. I don't like the people you're sending me to. That's how it works. Some of you think, oh, I just need to go to the people I like. God says, I don't want you to go to the people like you like. Some of you have been called to work in the streets, and you're like, I hate that. I don't want to miss those people. They got demons. They do. It's, you know, just don't put me in that position. I don't want to be in that position. He takes you to Nineveh, and are you ready for this? The sign of Jonah is not Jonah in the belly of the fish. That's not the sign. We've all been taught that's a sign. Jesus was 3 days in the earth, and so this is what the sign is. The sign of Jonah, if you read Jonah, you have to read the whole book, and you realize that at the end of the book, after 4 days, the entire city is saved. Do you realize that church in Nineveh still exists? It is the longest sustained move of God in the earth. It was before Jesus, before the apostles. God began a move where they were proselytized to become Jewish. They proselytized to Judaism. They proselytized. They were converted there, and then after Jesus was raised from the dead, there was an apostle, I think it was Philip, who went to Nineveh, and they received the Lord, and they were filled with the Spirit. Wow. Because a reluctant prophet was gone. That's how you make prophets. So when God's dragging you through the mud and giving you life experiences that you don't even like to share in church, it's weird. Some people don't know how to relate to it. You know, I go, yeah, I've been divorced. Yep. Been divorced. And you remarried? Yeah, I did. I remarried, and actually I felt like God saved the best for last. I'm grateful for what God did in my life. That's no derogatory on anybody. It's just in my own life, there was something that God did. Was it hard? Did God tell me to? No, God never told me to, but he put me in a situation that was unfunctioning. God will never tell you to get a divorce. Never. God hates divorce. You get divorced because your heart is hard. Jesus said that. Because there's no remedy. And in the church, you walk in and like, man, you're dirty. You shouldn't be speaking. You went through this. It's like, I did. I went through that. And I thought I'd never minister again. But I can't tell you all the things that happened, including an angel who would come. I didn't know he was an angel. He was driving a truck. But he was an angel. Right out here in Irmo. And told me my life story and said, God still has a future for you. Wow. And so it's not a matter of figuring out how to get everything in line. But when it comes to the gifts, you don't want to ever exalt somebody beyond a certain place. God obligates himself to remove people that we set up as idols, because he will have no gods besides himself. So you realize when you idolize somebody, you are putting them in a very dangerous, precarious place. Isn't that crazy? Wow. Anyways, I don't think there was really any. There was one little, really quickly, and then I've got some words for some folks. Because of the battle that you were talking about having, these battles come a lot. Learn to live with battles. And those of you who are married, stop freaking out. If you're covenant people, you'll be fine. You have to be covenant people. You got to just realize it's covenant. This is till the end. And I know you're looking back at me. You just said I understand that. There are things I learned big time. Okay? But you also understand that if you're moving into the kingdom, you're going to go through some stuff. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to go through some stuff. And if you think the presence of stuff is God saying, this is not the right way, that you're just looking for peace at all costs, you will never experience the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. Because the rule and reign of God is bringing his kingship into situations that are absolutely gone. He's not there. And you're coming in with God. The glory of the Lord is all over you. David, 1 Samuel 17, he fights Goliath. We know that battle. Some of you know it really well. And the enemy comes at you when you become actively involved in what God's called you to do. If you figure out what God wants you to do, you become a threat to the devil. So my encouragement to each of you is to become the threat. Figure out, what does God want for me to do? God doesn't just want you to go to church, man. He don't want you to just go sit in a pew or a chair, even if it's 4-hour chair. You know, we used to have 1-hour, 2-hour, 3-hour, and 4-hour chairs. He goes to the cave of Adullam. I'm going to share a little different than you did, because it's something the Lord was teaching me. And it's amazing. I love the facets of the Word of God. Sometimes we don't see it. We don't see some things. And he's at the cave of Adullam with his mighty men, and they're all, they're depressed, they're in debt, and there's another duh. I can't remember what it was. Discontent. Now, let me just help you with something. If you ever hang out with depressed, discontent, and in debt people, you are living in a nest of demonic activity. Amen. Anybody ever had an occasion where you're with somebody and it's like, oh my gosh, they're so down. My God, they just get away. I love that. I see that hand, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, because you can't deal with it. You're like, this is nuts. What is going on? Why are they so, you know? It becomes that it hosts that. David actually goes to a pagan king nearby. He goes, guys, it's a mess in there. Can I bring my parents over here to hang out with you guys until I get some things sorted? Literally, that's what David does. This is the story. And that's the only time. David heard 3 words from God his entire life. Some of you are looking for a word every day. 3 words. The first one, you're going to become a king. As a boy. Second one was this one, and then the third one was when Nathan went to him when he sinned. This is the only time he ever asked for a word. The only time. And he found the prophet Gad. And he goes to Gad, he goes, well, here's the situation, guy. What should I do? What should I do? And he says to him, he says, dude, you're supposed to be king. What are you doing? You need to become king of Judah. You need to press ahead. And as soon as he presses ahead, the enemy actually comes and wipes out all the priests of Nob. Those were his friends. Attacks his family, comes after things. I promise you, there will be attacks against you. You cannot, you're like, no, this can't be God. And yet it is God leading you. And the very next thing that happens, it said that the Philistines came and they began fighting. They fought him. They were a lot. And he asked the Lord, this is 2 Samuel 5. He said, Lord, what should we do with this? He always inquired of the Lord. And he said, I want you. He said, I have given them into your hand. Basically, I've wrapped them up as a package. No big deal. You're going to be okay. That's basically what God tells him. He's like, cool. He said, go out and fight them. He's like, all right. They win. No big deal. The Israelites didn't lose people when they fought. And then all of a sudden it says, then they came back. Same place they went that last time, but this time they filled the Valley of Rephaim. The Valley of Rephaim goes to the door of Jerusalem and the Mediterranean Sea. It is massive. It's huge. And he goes to the Lord. He cries to the Lord. He says, Lord, what should we do? He says, what I want you to do, and this is what often happens. He said, I want you to leave your families at home in Jerusalem. And I want you to circle around, go behind all those warriors. I want you to go to the end of where this is happening, over by the Mediterranean Sea, by the balsam trees or the poplar trees. I want you to go back behind them. That's where I want you to go. You want me what? I want you to do what looks ridiculous and there's no way you could win. And you're literally, your family is in harm's way. But I want you to obey me. I've got something to do. That has to be me doing it. Do you know that God wants a breakthrough for some of us, but we won't ever let God break through for us because we will not do the hard thing that God's asking us to do? He said, I want to break through, but you got to hear me. You got to hear me. What did I tell you to do? Has it been 16 years yet? Has it been 20, 25, 30? Has it been a lot of years yet? I'm planning on living to about, I know I'll be preaching at 118 years old. And some of you are going, no way. Yeah, that's what he told me. I'm not even worried about it. With all the battles I've had physically and everything, I don't care. We're just going to keep going. Really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to outlive my dad. Age-wise, I know that already. I'm going to outlive some of my kids. A lot of my kids, probably. Wow. But I've seen myself preaching at 118. David is told, go behind. Can you imagine what those men were doing? Are you sure? You heard God? You heard God? Yep. Our families are here. Our wives, our kids. Yep. This is what he said. Circle behind them. Go behind the poplar trees. And then he says, when you hear the sound of marching in the trees, in the tops of the trees. You know, I've heard every kind of message on this. People are like, oh, this is a supernatural sound. This is a supernatural sound that God was going to release that they would hear. No, actually, when the whole Valley of Rephaim is filled with warriors, and each of these captains or commanders along the way are saying, march! The earth is as they're going in to take Jerusalem. It's the height of your fear. It is the place of your most extreme worry. It is where there is absolute exasperation. Like, God, if you do not move, everything else has come to nothing. This is a waste. All our families will be destroyed. Lord, if you do not break through, He says, when you hear the sound, I, the Lord, have gone out in front to fight for you. Do you realize when they came to the gates of Jerusalem, they met the Lord who is terrible? Could you imagine come marching up and realizing, oh my gosh, God's here, all the angels, everything are there to meet. And we have seen that repeatedly through history, how God will place his warring angels. He himself will come and he'll say, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. But you got to put yourself in the place where he told you to go, even if it looks risky, high risk. I'm speaking to people that, listen, we as all humans, there's not a person I know who doesn't want to be safe. But if we are going to take Not just Columbia area, not just South Carolina, not just the South, but if we're going to take this nation, if we're going to send people to other nations, I don't give a rip how old you are. I don't care about your physical conditions. God doesn't. God will send you with all kinds of conditions that I've shared the story, I think, this morning. But God will send you with conditions in your body that He will heal, but not in this nation. He will heal you. But you have to listen. What did He say? What are we going to do? Are we going to obey Him? How are we going to do exactly what He said? Are we going to open our homes, even though we don't have space for it? We started micro groups in a place downtown Connecticut. Micro, because their living rooms, you know, could max out at about 7. Max. And so we just started these micro groups in this one apartment building. And you do things differently. You think differently. You're just like, Lord, if you want to take over a city, take over a region, it's not going to happen because we have a meeting. It's going to happen because we do something. That this meeting should explode into your lives all through the whole region. Amen? Maybe. I prefer laughing. I even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, really, you will? He said, yeah. Because on the same hand is the Lord who will refresh and the Lord who will direct. Don't be afraid of either. Don't be disappointed with either. There are times where you want to be refreshed, and I'm directing you right now. Like, God, I'd just like to be refreshed. And He goes, I'm directing you right now. And there's other times where He comes and He goes, and He's directing, and you're like, and you're like, yeah, we're finally got. He said, yeah, we're going to take a chill pill right now, and we're going to watch Todd laugh and talk about a rosary. Just enjoy the time. Enjoy what I'm doing. Not just in Todd's life, but in so many of you who haven't laughed in a long time. Right? Yeah. Wow. I just want to give a couple words. Is that okay? You sure? Good. You sure? Do you want to stand next to me and laugh? It'll be much, much more fun. You're okay. Did I steal that from you?
I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, good. Every time I see you, yeah, I see the Lord healing inside of you something that has been a constant concern and will not abate. And I actually saw a cut. And the Lord said, He said, I'm going to heal her. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do some surgery in her and remove some things that are not functioning correctly. And to remove that, the whole night, I just kept seeing this all over you. And the Lord has purpose for you beyond what you think. Don't limit your vision by your condition. In fact, ask God to make it bigger. Be the one who says, Lord, enlarge my borders. Increase it. There's something that God wants to increase in this hour. He wants to increase it over your lives. Powerfully. But I saw the Lord literally. It was like, what's going on? Because every time I would look at you, I would see this thing. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And He said, I'm going to heal inside some things that have not been able to be healed. They have not responded to anything. But the Lord's going to absolutely release that to you. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Hi. Terry. And your wife. Yeah, we're coming back to you. Okay. All right. Yeah. I actually saw, and you mentioned something of this morning, so I want to be really honest. I don't want to say what's not prophetic. There are people who do that, and that's not who I am. But I will say this part. You have moved quite a bit, and you think you're going to move again. I actually saw the Lord putting on you the lifestyle of troubadours, of, there's another word for that, gypsies, that you were going to go from place to place, that actually God was going to use you in that way, that there were places you were going to go and be there for very short periods of time, but it was not something that was just going to end. It will end at the moment that you understand grace is gone from that. But there's a whole lot of grace that actually God is going to pour into you guys to do that for quite some time. And I saw, and part of that is a fulfillment of a word the Lord gave you, that you would be reaching people all across this nation. And that was a word the Lord gave to you. And you were like, how? You know, because you knew it wasn't like because of big meetings that you were going to do and everybody was going to come. It was because there was something different you didn't know. And I'm just filling in some blanks for you to let you know that part of that is going to be because you're going to just travel a lot. And you're going to plant. And you're going to start little groups. Some of them, I literally see this in camps. Like where people go camping. That you literally will have spontaneous gatherings, and people will come, and you'll pour into their lives. And there's other things that God's going to do. They're just ridiculous. You'll be invited to people you don't know. Say, come, we're having a party, or we're having, you know, people that just want something. They don't know what they want. And you're just going to say, sure, let's go. And as a result, the Lord says he's going to use you very significantly, very powerfully, both of you. Both of you, there's a call on you. Yeah. There's a call on you. Yeah. It's not just Terry. It's you. He calls us together. He calls us. And even in the areas where you feel like, I can't do that, the Lord says, you will do it. And your children will be incredible in the kingdom. They will move with great power, with great power. And I just release that all over you, that you just begin receiving it. Take it. You know, it didn't have to be that way for Jonah. It could have been good. Like, yeah, I'll go. You're going to win anyways. And there's a reality that God is going to have you guys just enjoying life. I'll see you in many different states. I just will. I know that. Yeah. So Lord, bless them. Wow. Wow. The cranes. He wasn't here this morning. And I was like, I need to wait. So Gary's here. Wow. God is beginning right now to open doors that you've been waiting for him to open. Oh, you can't hear me. God, am I talking quiet?
No.
Huh? It's just we're there. Okay, Gary, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. God has placed you in a place right now where what he's called you to is going to be very easily done. It couldn't be done for a number of years. Because of some of the obligations that God had you in. But the Lord says those obligations have come to a close. And that there is a season on you right now for the release of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Lord has called you in the past, and you knew that he was calling you to father people, to love people, you as both of you, father, mother, that there was going to be a release through your lives of the Holy Spirit. Some of the things that God did in your life in the Midwest that were preparatory for that, some of the words that were spoken over you when you lived back there, that the Lord is now going to start seeing those things happening. You're going to see those things happening in your life. It is the season to begin to initiate. Even relationships, I saw things happening with your kids. And because of what was going on with the kids and what God was going to do profoundly in their lives, profoundly, turning things, that they were stretched as kids. They were stretched. Now, anybody who's been involved in Holy Spirit stuff, I want you to know your kids have been stretched. And they're living in a world that doesn't want to stretch. Be merciful to your kids. They've been stretched, but they will once again become a part fully of what the Holy Spirit's doing in this hour. And there's going to be, and through their lives is what I saw. I saw them actually becoming people who will gather others to you that you would father. That they're going to realize, man, mom and dad can help this couple. Mom and dad can help these people. And that was going to be the beginning of what God had spoken to you way back about the call on your lives. The Lord says, don't delay. When that invite comes, just say yes. Even if it doesn't fit your schedule, just say yes. God's all over you guys. Every time I see you, I'm just like, man, I miss them. I miss all of y'all. Do you know I miss all y'all? I do. Jesus is good. He's really good. And he's powerful. And he's powerful enough to turn families back to the Lord. He's powerful enough to take a hard heart and restore him to Jesus powerfully. He is powerful enough to reach in. He changed Saul's heart. Literally, Saul couldn't become king until his heart was changed. And God sovereignly, supernaturally, he didn't have a heart like David. He had a heart like Saul. God had to change his heart. And so we release that right now over your family. Yeah, that tonight it begins. That the questions begin coming. That the hardness begins becoming soft. I loose that. I loose that right now. Right now, right now, right now. And the Lord all over your life. All of you just love Jesus. And man, you love worship. Phew. Don't back away. Don't back away. Don't back away. And don't be afraid for your life and what's coming or what's not coming right now. Don't be disappointed. Because God has it all marked out. All your days have been numbered by the Lord. Every day. Even the things where we think, well, this should be happening by now. And the Lord says, no. It happens when I want it to happen because I'm better at it. Trust. Trust them. Amen. Amen. He's such a good God. Such a good God. Phew. Wow. Do I know you? Yeah. No. What's your name?
Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia. Huh. You're on fire. But you didn't even know. You don't even know what God has ahead of you. He said, there is fire inside of you to burn. I see you burning oil to invite the Lord, to welcome the Lord. I see him with worship all around your life. Take that word exactly the way I said it. Don't read into it. Around your life, okay? But it's because of the passion he's put inside your heart. And he said, you will burn the oil that the incense will be smelled by the Lord.
It'll be a sweet fragrance. And there's going to be all over your life this call to bring people into the very presence of God, into the presence of God, into the presence of God. Close your eyes for a second. Jesus, right now, thank you for Georgia. Lord, we release the Holy Spirit all over Georgia right now. Whew. Lord, the one you will, that people will say, this is the one who the Lord always visits. This is the one who has these encounters with God. I release that right now all over you, that you will be one who will absolutely hear crystal clear his voice. And I break off of you everything that makes you feel like I need so much more of God and I don't know how to get it. I break that off, that you will say, no, I do know. I just go after him. And I break off that insecurity and the feeling like you failing God. I break that off of you. You're not failing God. He's your Savior. You're not perfect. You never will be. And so I break off those things right now. And I redeem your life from the pit. I pull it out of the pit where you feel like, man, I don't know if I'll ever get up back up on top. I just release right now the presence of God all over you. He loves you. He loves you, Georgia. He loves you. Amen. Amen. Jesus is good. Did you want to say something? You ready to go?
It's benediction time, isn't it?
Shoo. Yeah. Oh, is it? We got to benedict? Okay.
I'm not getting near there. Praise the Lord.
But the Lord recognizes it because you do it out of your heart. You do it, you're there, you're committed. And, you know, you get up early, you know, you do what it takes to get the job done. But your motivation is from your heart. And that's because God has just really placed a real sweet spirit within you. And that's why the enemy stole from you. You know what I'm saying? He came and he just robbed you. And yet you still stayed on the job. You know, you stayed at your post. You did what you're supposed to do. But the Lord says, you know, when a thief is found out by the Spirit of the Lord tonight, he's found out, he has to recover. He has to bring back sevenfold. I don't know, I have the scripture in my brain to quote it, but I just want to tell you, that's going to be returned to you, okay? And it's not your fault. God, let me tell you, it is not your fault, okay? Anytime you're walking with the Lord, anytime you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be attacked. And that's why it's like these raids have come on your life and just kind of ripped you off. But it's going to be restored unto you, all right? I just want to encourage you, okay? You know, when we drink out of our own reflection, It makes life difficult because it limits us and we become very much aware of our environment. But God has taken you from that to drink out of his reflected glory. And when you drink out of a reflection of glory, the joy comes. And I'm not going to say any more than that, okay, because I'm afraid right now I'm going to lose it again. So I just want to encourage you that. Amen. I just kind of pray with you real quick, okay? Everybody just point your hands. What's your name?
Bridget.
Bridget. Lord, I just lift up Bridget right now, Lord. I just release your healing power in my sister, Lord, that you'd heal that wounded heart right now. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's that warmth right now just coming through, that virtue, it's just coming right out of me into you right now and just healing your heart. And as you're being healed, it's flowing out into this, all these people that are here tonight right now. Just there's other broken hearts that are here right now, and the Lord is touching each and every one of them right now, just filling you up with his love and giving you a future and a hope. The hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but now everything is being restored. Even now, says the Spirit of God, that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is coming right now and comforting people in this room right now. You're being comforted and restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Give her more, Lord. Give her more, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus is Lord of this vessel. Jesus is Lord of this place. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Kora hasunde ki mohosa ki dinesho manteke nohota son bokodianda ki shomboko to honiate se ki shomboko dianda toku yanda nasaka minde shekede nyondo hosata. I have dried your tears up. I have spoken to my people tonight, and I have given them hope when they had none. I've strengthened them, and I've given them understanding. And I've also given them information that they might leave here with direction and knowing that I am Lord. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is so good.
All the time.
Amen. Does that mean something to you? Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My sister back there in the pigtails there. Yeah, that's pigtails, right? I'm not sure. Come on up here. Man. I think I might have sent you a message on a phone today. I don't know if you got it or not.
Oh,
you think you're going to? Amen. What's your name again?
Renee.
Renee. Lord, I just lift up Renee, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. There's that word that expect the uninspected. You've got some good blessings coming your way. Amen. I just see you laboring. It's like you're, it's like you're pounding up against a wall to get a breakthrough right now. And I just see you hammering and hammering and hammering. But you're going to break right through. You're going to come right through out on the other side. Because God has got such an anointing on your life. And I don't know if you have a children's ministry or what it is, but I just see a lot of young children being really blessed through the words that comes through your mouth. And I see a teacher that God is raising up inside of you, a teacher that speaks the language to those that are young and encouraging. Jesus was one of the kids to come to him. They wanted to be around him. And there's just a real anointing on you that just children are just going to come to you. And I just see you blessing them. I see you healing them. There's some children that their parents are breaking up and going through something really, it's horrendous. But yet you'll find yourself in the path of them. And I see healing coming through you to them. And God blessing them because they need to be protected. You know, they're little and they don't understand certain things. And compassion is going to well up within you time and time again. This is a ministry that you have. And it's just going to be duplicated again and again and again. Sister, you love the Lord. You've given your life to him. And even at a young age, he was calling you, and you knew he was calling you. And you hear his voice, but you're going to hear his voice in a much clearer way. Because you've learned to yield to the word of the Lord. You've learned to yield your life. You've chosen things, and you've chosen correctly. You know, it's like people have choices in life, and you come to a fork in the road, and you've always chosen the right path. It wasn't the easy one, though, but it was the right one because you have integrity, and you have character, and you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in great abundance. You know, that's why the pruning has taken place in your life. It's not necessarily hardship. It seems it's hard, but it's actually a pruning, and you've always found a way to get to joy, no matter what. You've always found your way back. You've never been lost. You've always come right, circled right on back to joy. And that is the strengthening, and that's been the girding in your life. In Jesus' name. Lord, fill her up, God, to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Thank you for this vessel, Lord. Fill her up, God, to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If there's people here tonight
Thank
and you're
you.
Not yet, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you're here tonight and you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got that opportunity tonight. And that maybe you don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was. I did not know what it was. And they didn't tell me it was Holy Spirit and fire. So I'm telling you right now, it's Holy Spirit and fire. But Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit, right? We can't, but we can lay hands on you, and you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you get to speak in tongues, and you can walk out of here tonight empowered to witness. And so if you need maybe you just need another filling. I got plenty right now. So maybe you just need a touch from God. You need just something, whatever it might be. This is an open altar here tonight, and you're welcome to come. If you got to go, you can go and enjoy yourself. And there's some coffee. And if you feel led to take a jug out of here, I'd appreciate it because I don't want to throw it out. It's good coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, and it's been blessed. So you can enjoy it. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, God. It's been a blessing to be in your presence. And, Lord, I just ask whatever's on me, Lord God, you just give it to everybody else. And you take it. Take it. Lord, send them out to the foolish virgins tomorrow, God. Send them to the churches in this area, Lord. And let laughter just break out through all of them. In Jesus' name I declare it. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen.